When you think of how's your love life, most of us think in terms of romance. We think in terms of a special someone, another human being. But how is your love life in terms of your relationship with Almighty God? How is your love there between you and the Lord? There is truth, there is truth, there is love, there is hope.
It's really sad, but it's true. Many people don't think of love when they think of God. They usually think of religion or rules or rituals when they think of God. But Scripture often emphasizes relationship, and God wants to have a love relationship with His children. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm Larry Nobles, and today on the broadcast, we're going to learn about God's greatest commandment in the message called, How's Your Love Life? It's from Jeff's series, Heartbeat, Becoming a Person After God's Own Heart. Now, if you missed any of these messages from the series that we've aired already, then go online to fromhisheart.org so you can listen again. Right now, though, open your Bible to Mark chapter 12. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve to ask this question, How's your love life?
Heard about one couple. They'd been married a while. Things weren't going so good. Hitting hard financial times. The wife was arrested for shoplifting. She went before the judge there with her husband. And the judge says to her, you're arrested for shoplifting. He said, tell me about it. She said, I stole a can of peaches. He said, well, why'd you steal a can of peaches? She said, I was hungry. He said, how many peaches were in the can? She said, six. He said, six peaches, that's 6 days in jail. And before he could wrap his gavel, the husband stood up and said, Your Honor, I got something to say. He said, what's that? She also stole a can of peas. Wasn't going well in their marriage. Their love life wasn't so great. See, when you think of how's your love life, most of us think in terms of romance. We think in terms of a special someone, another human being, but how is your love life in terms of your relationship with Almighty God? How is your love there between you and the Lord? You know, it's sad, but it's true. When many people think of God, they don't think of love. They don't think of love life. You know what they think of when they think of God? They think of religion. They think of rules. They think of ritual. And, you know, the Bible, I mean, they make an assumption. They say, well, you know, this book is a pretty thick book. This book has a lot of things in there about rules. It has things in there about religious activity and religious rituals. So that's what God must be interested in, rules and religion and ritual. You know, although the Bible does have a lot of that in there, all that stuff pales in comparison to relationship. God is into relationship, and God wants to have a love relationship with you. He really, really, really loves you, and He wants you to love Him back. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, there was a man that asked Jesus a question one day about what is the most important commandment of all. Chapter 12, beginning in verse 28, says this, and one of the scribes came and heard them arguing. Jesus was arguing with the Pharisees and with the Herodians and with the Sadducees because they were trying to trap Jesus. They were asking him, hey, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And that's where Jesus held up the coin and said, whose inscription, whose likeness is on this coin? And they said, Caesar. And then he said, well, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and render to God the things that are God's. And they marveled, wow. I mean, how do you get in and win an argument with Jesus? How can you trap him? The Sadducees tried to trap him in the same chapter, and they asked him a question about the resurrection, and it was so bogus because they didn't even believe in the resurrection. And so they asked Jesus this question about the resurrection, and Jesus just said, you guys don't even know the scriptures or the power of God. And he just cut them to the quick. And he said, God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Haven't you ever read, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob? He said, you're greatly mistaken. And this scribe, this lawyer, who was an expert in the Mosaic law, he heard how Jesus had put all those guys to shame. And they left with their tail between their legs. And he asked this question. He sees them arguing, recognizes that he had answered them well, asked Jesus, what commandment is the foremost of all? Jesus answered and said, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there is no one else besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. What a question that was asked of Jesus. What is the greatest commandment? What's the foremost commandment? What's of first importance? That was his question. Now, the reason that that was important, and the reason that this guy asked Jesus that question, was he was trying to trap Jesus. See, the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious muckety-mucks, they were so into rules. They had reduced God down to just a bunch of rules. They had taken the Ten Commandments, and they had counted the Hebrew letters in the Ten Commandments, and they came up with 613. And so they scoured through the first five books of the Old Testament, the books of Moses, called the Pentateuch, five books, and they came up with 613 rules that you had to fulfill. And they would break them down. They said there were 365 negative rules and 248 positive ones. They said that there were some that were heavy. That meant they were absolutely binding. Boy, you had to do some of these. And then there's some that were light. They were not as absolutely binding. There was a little bit of leniency in those. And they would argue back and forth, hour upon hour upon hour, which ones were heavy and which ones were light and which ones were the greatest. They'd argue. And so he asked Jesus this question. Now, what he was trying to get Jesus to do was to say something against the law of Moses, to go against Moses. See, because if you went against Moses, you're a heretic. All the people recognized that Moses was a great prophet. And so he was trying to discredit Jesus, to get him to say something that would cause the people to leave him and would cause Jesus to fall out of favor with the crowd. But Jesus answered that question. He answered it straight on. He said, you want to know what the most important commandment is? He said, as the people began to listen. Boy, you know, they just kind of honed in. What is he going to say? I mean, we've been discussing this for years. What is the foremost commandment? Is he going to say the first one? You shall have no other gods before me. That was the first one in the Ten Commandments. Surely that's the most important one. Is he going to say the Sabbath? Because I've been told by Rabbi so-and-so that the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath, that is the most important. Oh, is he going to say something about honoring your parents? Is he going to say something about you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain? What commandment? Maybe idols. Maybe it's about idols. And they started to tick off the things in their head in Exodus chapter 20 of the Ten Commandments, because surely the greatest commandment would be in there where God wrote them on a tablet of stone, but he didn't. Jesus didn't go to the book of Exodus. He went to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it, and that is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That was in the book of Leviticus. He didn't even go to the book of Exodus. He was in Deuteronomy, and he was in Leviticus. But the answer is, it's all about love. There, everything hangs. The whole law and the prophets hang on a love relationship with God. If you don't have love for God, I don't care what you have, Jesus said to this scribe. It doesn't matter. You've missed it by a million miles. And you know what was so sad? What was so sad for the Pharisees? The Pharisees, all these rule keepers, you know, they kept a little box on their forehead. It's called a phylactery. They would keep it on their forehead and they would keep it on their left arm by their heart, kind of on their left bicep, close to their heart. And they said, you know, the Bible says we're to keep God's word on our mind and on our arm. And so it'll be on our arm to do it and it'll be on our mind to think about it. And they actually put scriptures on their head in a little thing called a phylactery. And they had that scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4, and 5, they had that in the box because they'd roll up little scriptures and they put it in the box. And that was the verse that they had. Every good Jew would recite Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, called the Hebrew Shema, because the word Shema means hear. And so they would say their Shema every day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. And although they would say those words and although they kept it on their heads, they missed it by a million miles because they didn't love God with all their hearts. They, as the scripture says in the Gospel of Luke, were lovers of money. They loved money. They loved the respectful greetings in the marketplace. They loved the chief seats at the banquets. They loved all the circumstance and the pomp of being a religious leader. They loved all the people fawning over them. That's what they loved, but they didn't love God. I wonder today, do you love God? Do you love the Lord? You say, that's all there is to this Christianity thing, just love God? Well, man, that's easy. Sure, I love God. I mean, what's the alternative? I hate God? Well, no, I don't hate God. Then I must love God. Oh, but be careful. Be careful. Don't answer so quickly. If you had asked a Pharisee, do you love God? He'd have said, sure. Yes, of course. I recite that every day that I love God. But he didn't. So let's look today at what does it mean to love God, to really love God. Notice with me three insights. Insight number one. To really love God, it means you love him with your all. With your all. Did you notice in verse 30? And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Four times, all. The word all in verse 30 is a different word that's used in verse 28 when he asks which commandment is the foremost of all. That word all in verse 28 means the foremost of every commandment. But the word all that's used in verse 30 means the whole, means the complete, means the entire. So you're to love God with your whole, entire, complete heart and your whole, entire, complete mind and your whole, entire, complete strength and your whole, entire, complete soul. See, what does God want from you? What does he want of you? He wants 100% of you. That's what he wants. You say, well, I'm willing to give God 50%. God says, keep it. Keep it. I don't want 50%. You say, well, I'm willing to give God 75%. God says, no. Keep it. Well, I'm willing to give God 95%. Forget it, God says. I want 100% of you. You know, I've told you before, it's like a marriage relationship. When you stand at the altar, when I stood at the altar with Debbie on March 15th, 1986, I wouldn't have been at the altar had she not been willing to give me all herself, all her heart, and all her life. If she had said, now, Jeff, you know, 29 days of the month, I'm going to be here with you, but one day a month, I want to go out, and I want to date some other people, and I want to just have a little fun one day a week. You know, you get to be kind of boring, and so I want to be out with some others. I said, forget it. Well, then I don't want to marry you. I mean, you can't date anyone else. It's just going to be you and me until death do we part. That was the vow that we made. See, we want that in our marriage relationships. God wants that in his relationship with you. He's given all to you. He wants you to give all back to him in return. And did you notice the different things that the Lord said there? All your heart. All your heart. What is in your heart that God wants all of that? What does that speak of? Speaks of your emotions. speaks of your feelings. It's passion is in your heart. God wants all your passion to be on Him. So you're totally in love with Him with all your heart. You know, we talk about people who hurt us and they say, well, they broke my heart. Well, they didn't come in with a chisel and a hammer. They hurt you emotionally and that broke your heart and their feelings there and your heart. And then he says, and not only your heart, but your soul. Your soul. Your soul is the real you. So you're not a body. You live in a body. Your soul lives in a body. And your soul is the very essence of who you are. And God says, I want the essence of who you are. I want all of that. So all of your emotions, all of your passion, all of your soul, the very essence, your life, the real you. He wants all your mind, what you think about. See, we think about things that we love, don't we? So many people think, older people, you know what they think about all the time? Grandkids. They do, grandkids. Have you ever had the unpleasant experience of sitting next to a grandparent on an airplane? I mean, they're just going to talk to you about their grandkids. They're going to work out. Hey, have I shown you pictures of little Susie when she was skating? You say, no, and I really appreciate it. And you know, I mean, they just want to talk to you all the time. Why? Because they love their grandkids. And it's on their mind. When you talk to newlyweds, they want to talk to you about their spouse. Why? Because they're so in love. That's the way it should always be. People are in love with golf, and they want to talk to you about golf, and they think about golf. Sometimes you see some goofy guys, and they're just walking around somewhere, and they're doing this stuff, you know, all the time, just walking like they got a golf club in their hands. Well, they don't, but they're thinking about golf. See, we think about things we love, and the Lord says, I want you to think about me. Love me with all your mind and with all your strength. That means with your power, with your might, with your vigor. That's how we're to love God. The Lord wants 100%. Now, here's the question. Does he have 100% of you? I am convinced that as the Lord looks out on this church and on every church, he sees lots of people who come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and they just have partial hearts for God, partial souls for God, partial minds, partial strengths and vigor for God. I mean, it's not that they're against God. They're just not totally sold out. They're a bunch of scrambled egg Christians, not a bunch of country ham Christians. You say, what in the world is that? I haven't read that passage, scrambled egg Christians. Well, you think of it. Between a chicken and a pig, the chicken is involved, the pig is committed. And a person who's a scrambled egg Christian, he's just kind of involved with the Lord. A person who is a pig Christian, not a good term, but like that, in keeping with the illustration, man, he is committed. He is sold out to the Lord. That's what God is looking for. That's what he wants. See, another way to say that is God wants nothing held back from you and from me. Nothing held back. If you're going to become a person after God's own heart, you have to give everything over to him. Lots of people have locked doors in their hearts. I mean, there are rooms of hurt and rooms of rejection and rooms of bitternesses and things like that. They're just locked off. They're walled off. You don't let anyone go there. I was talking to my wife the other day, and we were talking about a situation, and I said about this person, I said, I think they're just rooms in that person's heart that they've just walled off. They don't let anyone go there. And you know, when Jesus talked about that man who was sick for 38 years, he said, do you want to get well? He says that to us today. Do you want to get well? Some people have their hearts so walled off in different areas that they don't even know they're sick. And if you start probing in that area where there is infection there, man, they get really mad because they just want that walled off. You can't walk with God and have a walled off heart. The Lord wants you to give everything over and to love him with all that you got. He wants you to open up. I love the story of Mary of Bethany, a person who loved God with all her heart and all her soul and all her strength and all her might. You know, before Jesus went to the cross, somehow she knew that he was getting ready to go. And the other disciples, it didn't register with them when he would say, I'm getting ready to go to the cross. It's pretty straightforward, but they didn't understand it. Peter said, never, Lord, will you go to the cross. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Man, what a rebuke. But here is Mary, and she's in touch with the Lord. And her spirit is sensitive, and she knows that Jesus is going to go to the cross. And he is in her home in Bethany, and she takes a vase, a vial of the most expensive perfume. King James calls it an alabaster box. And she takes it, and it's worth a year's wage. It was part of her inheritance. And she breaks it out over the Lord, and it spills out on his feet. And it fills the house with sweet perfume. She was broken, and she was spilled out. She got criticized for it. Why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? We wasted it on the Lord. And Jesus told Judas, who said that, be quiet. Said, she did a good thing for me. She was broken, and she was spilled out. And what this woman did will be preached throughout the world as a witness. I wonder, are you broken and spilled out? You know, I think a lot of Christians come to church and they're like that alabaster box, but they never let themselves be broken. And they never spilled out for the Lord. And they just come and they look good. And they just, I mean, it's just a whole congregation full of alabaster boxes. They're just full of vases of perfume and they look good, but they're not broken and spilled out. The Lord doesn't care how pretty your vase is until you break it out and give it over to Him, until you sell out to Him. What does it mean to really love God? It means you love Him with your all.
Do you love Him with your all, your everything? Well, that is God's desire for sure. And that, in fact, is why you and I were created, to love God by loving others as Christ loved us. And we'll do that if we become a person after God's own heart. Jeff will show you more about how to do that tomorrow when we conclude this message called, How's Your Love Life? He'll also be back in just a moment with some final words of encouragement for you. Listen, one of the things that we love here at From His Heart is when we hear from people who write to us to tell us what an encouragement these broadcasts are. And we recently got this letter from Becky, who wrote this. She said, I'm just totally amazed at this ministry you have. I've never in my life seen such a godly concern for people. You not only tell people about the love of God without compromise, you tell the truth in love always, but your website also provides a way for us to pray for others around the world and also ask for prayers. You've made a way for people like me who sit at home to serve others through your ministry. I was able to pray for people on your Prayer Works feature and was amazed at the response I got. It really touched me. Thank you, Jeff, for all you do to help all of us reach out to others in love. It's just so wonderful. I know God is so pleased. That's a great letter. We want to thank Becky for that and for the encouragement that she is giving, hopefully, to you to also use the Prayer Works feature on our homepage. You can pray for others, and you can leave your request, too. You'll receive a ton of email alerts anytime someone prays for you. Now, it's completely anonymous. No email addresses are exchanged, and you won't get spammed or anything like that. But you'll really receive a blessing when you're prayed for and when you pray for others. Again, it's the Prayer Works link on our homepage at fromhisheart.org. Thank you, Becky, for your kind words. Hey, before we close out today's broadcast, let's have a Real Hope Minute from Pastor Jeff.
For years, my family and I would watch American Idol together. And oftentimes, if Randy Jackson would say something negative about a contestant's performance, he would always end his comments by saying, hey, just keeping it real, dog, just keeping it real. Do you keep it real in life? Do you deal with things openly and honestly, not pretending everything's all right when you know it's not? Lots of us have a closet in our hearts in which we put all the junk that we don't want to deal with, disappointments and guilt and betrayal and on and on. And we think out of sight, out of mind. But listen, I can promise you that the junk in the closet will stunt your spiritual growth and steal your joy. We need to clean out the closet with God's help and get real with Him. The process may be painful, but the results will be so worth it. Now that's real hope.
Thank you so much for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting you'll be here tomorrow for part two of this inspiring lesson called How's Your Love Life? We hope you'll be here on Friday as Pastor Jeff Shreve will again open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart here on From His Heart. This program is sponsored by From His Heart Ministries, the listener-supported outreach of Dr. Jeff Shreve, who believes that no matter how badly you've messed up in life, God still loves you and has a wonderful plan for you. find out more, go to fromhisheart.org.